Back inside Ivy Hoops here on the podcast. Brett Franklin and Jill Glessner with you. It's time to go to the expert hotline. And we take a look at both men and women's hoops over at Yale. And it was a split weekend for both the Bulldogs and the Lady Bulldogs this past weekend. And to give us a closer look here on the podcast, covering Yale men's and women's basketball for Ivy Hoops Online, it's Richard Kent joining us. How are you, Richard? Thanks for the time.
Great. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well, and a mixed weekend for both Yale programs this weekend, but both at least getting wins. So a mixed result, obviously, for both teams this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I was giving it some thought this week when I was watching the Notre Dame men play against Duke, and I really believe Notre Dame suffered tremendous losses. They have their two best players are injured. Bonnie Colson, who would be the ACC Player of the Year. But I think Yale in Jordan Bruner and Mekhi Mason, and I do think Mason will be back.
That was my next
over.
Question.
I just can't isolate a specific game that he'll be back. But I think Yale may have suffered relative to the players on the team and relative to the league it plays in, a greater loss than any team in the country in losing those two players.
I know you briefly touched on it. Is there any timetable for Mason's return? Obviously, with Penn and Princeton coming up this weekend, it would obviously help them out big time. But did you have any sense of a timeline?
You know, I've heard so many different timelines that I can't isolate one. And this is strictly a guess, but it's predicated upon intuition. I think his return may come at home as opposed to on the road. So Yale will be home the following weekend against Cornell and Columbia. But I have no inside information on this. But I have a very, very strong feeling that's not intuition that he will be back.
The biggest thing, you know, is the play of Maione, who we saw up here last year, and he just went off against the Big Green, and he's really a fun player to watch. And just what makes him so good on the court, and what makes him so special to this Yale team, averaging over 16 points per game this season so far through 17 contests?
Well, I mean, the good news is he's a tremendous athlete. He's got a very high basketball IQ. He's learning on the job. The bad news is teams are double-teaming him this year, and his shooting percentage, at least in the last three games, is way down.
Can you talk a little bit about Alex Copeland? He had 25 points versus Dartmouth. Or if there's any player that you think has stepped up, again, due to these injuries, who kind of stands out to you?
I think Trey Fills is the one who stands out for this reason. I watched Fills, and I watched Copeland in amazement last year, both of whom stepped up. I think that the jump in Phil's game, especially offensively, because he was always known as a great defensive player, has been far more dramatic. I think Copeland is playing at a very high level, probably similar to the level that he played at last year. But I think if I had to take out one player and say, this guy right now, January 31, is the key to the team, without Mason on the team, it would be Phil's.
And looking ahead to this Penn-Princeton weekend, what's kind of your outlook? Do you feel strongly about a split? Is there one team that you like the matchup better for the Bulldogs?
Well, I've said now since mid-December, and it was exemplified by the win against Princeton and the resounding win against St. Joe's this weekend, that Penn is the best team in the Ivy League right now. I think Penn is a tremendously difficult matchup for Yale with Brodeur and Rothschild playing together. And Donnie has been playing them both together a lot, and that really hurts Yale inside. Yale is very young inside. Blake Reynolds of late has been hampered by injury, and Yale really misses Sam Downey from last year. He might have been last year the most efficient, I'm not saying the best, the most efficient player in the Ivy League.
So you like the chances better against a Princeton team that doesn't have that big of an inside presence?
Yeah, I don't love the chances against Princeton, but if you said to me, you know, which of the two games do I think Yale is more likely to win, if they're going to win one of the two games, I would say Princeton over Penn. Now, you know, you've got to predicate this whole thing upon the fact that the home team is winning at a rate of over 90%. in the Ivy League, and it is difficult to win on the road. It's always difficult to win the second game on the road. The advantage of the Penn-Princeton weekend is that you don't have to travel too far.
It's nothing like that
The Cornell-Columbia trip is just, it's brutal. And, you know, I'm going to editorialize for a second. For the life of me, I don't understand why Ivy League games are not played on Friday night and Sunday afternoon.
I just had this conversation today, Richard, and I'm on board with you. Flipping to the women's side, do you have any sense of, I know on Friday night Harvard played out of their mind, but to have, can you just talk about how Yale responded on that Saturday, losing by 24 points, then traveling, getting on a bus, then winning a road game at Dartmouth, who's been playing pretty well and able to win that game?
Yale has been an up-and-down team all year. Yale has had some head-scratching losses. I'm not saying Harvard blew them out, so that's not a head scratch. And Yale beat Harvard at the end of last season at Payne Whitney. So I'm not saying it's a head-scratching loss, but the margin was head-scratching, and the amount of points they gave up, because Yale has prided itself on it. Allison Guth has prided herself on her defense. So I think it's a great bounce-back win. I mean, last year, Yale lost by 60 to Stanford and then came back either the next day or the day after and beat, I think it was UC Santa Barbara. So, I mean, it's been a crazy ride for Yale. Yale has a real star in Tamara Simpson, who I believe is on track to break all the Ivy League steal records. Jen Berkowitz, their inside player, is pretty much a constant. Their depth is somewhat suspect, and you know they're working. These are players that Allison did not recruit, and I think they've adjusted well to her system. Do I think that Yale is going to win the Ivy League? No. No, I mean, I've seen Princeton and Penn. I've seen Princeton. I saw Princeton play Quinnipiac, who was picked 13th in the country preseason, and at Quinnipiac, and they completely blew them out. And then I went with Gary Walters to see Princeton play at Rutgers, and Princeton was down, I think, 40-22 in that game, which made no sense to me at all, because Rutgers is above average. They've got an All-American in Tyler Scaife, but they're above average. And I think right now I would have to say that the hierarchy in the Ivies is Princeton 1, Penn 2, Harvard 3.
So do you think Yale has a good shot spot?
That's the question. And it was the question last year when they went up to Cornell on Friday evening of the last weekend. And if they swept Cornell-Columbia, they would have been the number four and gone to the Ivy tournament. I think the same thing's going to happen this year. Probably come down to Yale and Brown, but I'm not certain. But I think that Yale will be in the mix until the last weekend. Last weekend being, unfortunately for Yale, at Princeton and Penn.
Well, and just you had mentioned about Princeton. What makes them so good? I mean, last year, I know obviously Penn won outright and they beat them in the tournament. But I know Courtney Banger has done a great job, and she has. They have some youth. You know, Bella Allery, who is a star, is only a sophomore. But what makes Princeton so good?
Well, Bangard's got a great system. I mean, she's a coach that could have tripled their salary and gotten the Vanderbilt job, and she could have gotten many other jobs. What I've been told from various sources is that when Rutgers, North Carolina, and Duke open, and I don't know, I think North Carolina is going to open very soon, Rutgers in 3 years, and I don't know when Duke's going to open, that she'd be their top, all of their top candidate. And she's, it's not like Princeton is going to tank and go, you know, 10-22 next year. She's always going to have Princeton 1-2 in the Ivy. She's that good of a coach, and she's just got a great system. Allery is a terrific player. A good anecdote about Allery: her dad, Mark Allery, was a star at Duke, and Duke did not recruit her. at all. Now, could she play at Duke? I've seen Duke in person this year, and I've seen Allery twice in person. I think she could play at Duke. At worst, she would be sixth or seventh man, and they didn't even recruit her. And I think when you don't recruit the daughter of an alumnus who I was told was a pretty big donor at Duke, it makes no sense to me at all.
I work in the fundraising world at Dartmouth, and I agree with that statement.
I mean, listen, these coaches get letters from, you know, alumni, and some of the kids are kids that couldn't even play at Williams or Amherst. But this is a young lady who's probably the best player in the Ivy League right now.
Richard Kent, who covers Yale men's and women's basketball for Ivy Hoops Online. Some great insight here on the podcast, and thank you so much for your time.
Well, I appreciate it.